Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are talking about the state of or the nature of the smartphone market in South Africa. And for today, we are joined by actually one of the world's biggest smartphone makers, that is Oppo. You know, some people may or may have not have heard of them, but, you know, as a geek myself, it's one of those brands that I know. They sit in the same stable as other brands such as Vivo, together with the OnePlus. But for today, we're going to be talking to Liam Fury, who is the head of their go-to-market and operations at Oppo South Africa, just to get some insight into what's actually going in the local market, why they decided to even bother with you know, South Africa. Because they are very big in, you know, Asia. So just hearing, you know, about what attracted them to this part of the world, where they see the market and, you know, an outlook of where things are going, especially at a time where we're talking about increasing rates of digitalization and digital adoption around the world. So Liam, greetings to you.
Hey, morning, Madiwa.
I think a good place for us to start, maybe some insight into Oppo itself. I've already said that you guys are a smartphone maker, but you know, maybe, you know, beyond that, can you give us some insight into what the business is, what you guys do, and you know, maybe more importantly, why you guys decided that you wanted to come into South Africa?
Sure, thank you, Madiwa. So yes, the brand Oppo, very, very exciting brand. You know, the brand was founded in 2004 in the Greater Bay Area in China, Shenzhen Valley. It's the Silicon Valley in China. There, you know, the company started looking, they started making Blu-ray players, MP3 players, you know, really booming, and thought, well, let's get in there. They designed a face called the Smiley Face phone. And it's a very, very interesting phone, which was the Oppo's first one, which had the design of a smiley face on the back of it, you know, just showing the fun style of design that Oppo follows. And the brand really caught my eye in 2018 when it launched the Find X. Now, at that time, this phone was revolutionary. It didn't look like anything outside that we've seen before. You know, at that time, we had these physical heart buttons on our smartphones, and we had these big bezels around it. And here, this phone came around and said, there shouldn't be any bezels around the phone, right? The camera can be hidden behind the screen. And that's really, that really showed that Oppo is a big, big smartphone provider for long term. In 2016, it already hit the top five spot in global smartphone shipments. And just recently, and we're very, very proud of this news, Oppo is actually the number four global smartphone brand by volume sold, and also the number two brand now of 5G shipments. Okay. Also, Oppo is the number one smartphone brand in China, and number one smartphone brand in Southeast Asia, the number one smartphone brand in the likes of Egypt. So it's a very, very big smartphone brand. And yes, finally now, South Africans have got access to this wonderful brand as well.
And when it comes to some of that, because I think China is a very competitive market. I've been to Shenzhen myself, and when you go there, you know, it's just on another level what's going on, what's going on there. And it also happens to be the, like you said, sort of a Silicon Valley, because you have a number of different companies, Huawei, etc., that are all Tencent, that are all based in that one city. And when you see the amount of manufacturing that's actually going on in some of those places, and for you to then say that Oppo is now, you said, the number one smartphone maker in a market like China, the one can only imagine the volumes that you guys are doing in China.
And you know, it's very important for a brand to win in its domestic market. If you can win in your domestic market, then you can truly expand to other markets. So it's very, very important for Oppo to be like this. And yes, you mentioned the competitiveness in China. You know, if you consider just Android as an operating system, there's in excess of 300 brands, Android brands in China. So yes, the smartphone market is a very, very competitive market. But you know, everybody always wants the latest technology, right?
No, they certainly do. So when it comes to South Africa, why the decision to actually set up some type of a base, in a country like South Africa? Because, you know, one could always just have the devices imported here. Why was it necessary to actually set up an actual presence? And what do you make of the competitive landscape in South Africa? Because I'm sure the makeup of the brands is different from Oppo's home market.
Definitely. South Africa is a very important market, right? If you consider it's, probably the one of the most important markets in Africa. But also, South Africa is a very different market to some of the other markets. It's a very carrier-dominated market. So when I say carrier, the network operators, right? We've got a few big network operators in this country that do most of the selling of the phones. So a very different market for Oppo. In 2019, Oppo started making the plans to come to South Africa. Last year, we launched the brand in October, and very proud of the fact that we've got just shy of 60,000 Oppo users already in South Africa in such a short space of time. I think the timing for Oppo to come to South Africa was not obviously ideal, right? We launched this brand during a lockdown period. But what's been great has been the reception from South African users. South Africans have received Oppo very well. We're selling very, very well out there. And really looking forward to expanding, growing further into this market and bringing more models to South African users.
And since your launch, as you said, 60,000, users so far, what are people actually buying? I think that, would be interested. Are we talking mid-range devices, the high-end flagships, entry-level? Like, what's the product mix looking like?
Okay, so we as Oppo, we're a mid-range, mid-to-premium range manufacturer. We've just recently launched our local flagship, the Reno 5 5G, that we launched in March. And that is at the more of the premium space. So that's a phone that sells for about 15,000 rand cash or starting on contract from 499 per month. And yes, we've seen great success out of this. It's been the first time in many, many years that a brand has penetrated the segment. This premium segment, which, as you can imagine, is dominated by three brands mainly. So it's been very, very exciting for us to launch in the space. We've also just recently launched our affordable 5G phone. Our Oppo users in South Africa have got access to a wide variety of models. And every quarter we're expanding them. So right now we've got our range that starts with the A15. A15 retails for about 3,000 rand. Or available on contract for about 179 rand per month. And then we move up all the way through into our A74, which is our 5G phone. That's available on contract for about 299 per month. And then we have our Reno as well. We've just recently also been awarded the Stuff magazine award for our A72 phone, which we launched last year, which has now been replaced by the A74.
So can I confirm then that you're saying that if we're to talk about the range of devices that you guys have, you guys are sort of playing in the 3,000 to 15,000 rand range?
Yes, 100%. So our entry phone, the A15, starts at 3,000 rand, and then our premium phone, the Reno 5 5G, ends off at 14,999.
I think one of the things that does come by virtue of being a Chinese manufacturer, is we can't escape what's happened to the likes of Huawei, all of the regulatory attention that's on the likes of Alibaba, Tencent, etc. But specifically as a manufacturer, we look at the case of Huawei. And for people that are, maybe investing in the brand in South Africa and saying, okay, cool, I like Oppo, I see the Reno 5, and I'm like, okay, cool, I want to get this device. But there's that little inkling thing, in the background, like, Could this phone be, you know, a dud in the next, you know, sorry to use such a term, but, you know, could this phone be rendered somewhat useless in the next, you know, year by, you know, some type of a ban? Because we've seen how much of a knock that has given, at least in the Western world, around Huawei and their inability to use Google services. So for consumers that may have that concern, where do you, you know, how do you respond to that?
So we don't feel any concern. Definitely 2019 was an eye-opener for the whole world, right? I think, you know, definitely some brands learned quite an expensive lesson, not to necessarily rely on others. And definitely it's definitely shaking things up, especially around the Chinese tech industry. But I can happily say that at Oppo, we don't have these challenges. We've got a very good relationship with the likes of Google and with Qualcomm, two big American tech giants. So much so that we've announced recently 3-year upgrade plans on Google with our devices. We make special mention of that our devices come with Google Apps. You'll find the comes with Google Apps logo featured all around our devices. Also a big strong partnership with Qualcomm. Qualcomm make most of the chipsets in our phones. And really, I think it's a case of as Oppo, we're a smartphone manufacturer, a technology manufacturer, and not necessarily a network infrastructure company. Right, so we don't have any risk at this point in time for Oppo users to not have an operating system. Rest assured that we've just announced a new upgrade cycle as well with our current range, our A72 and A53s. All get the latest version of Android 11 together with our Color OS 11.
Okay, cool. I think that distinction that you've just drawn, especially around the networking factor, because I think that sort of speaks to the heart of some of the issues that Huawei has had, that the concern from a security point of view that the West has taken is around the issue of 5G and the fact that Huawei is a big supplier of networking equipment around the world. So I think that distinction certainly does make sense. But when it comes to, you know, Oppo's own devices, manufacturing, etc., are there any plans to open some type of a facility in South Africa? You know, more than as a South African, how concerned we are about jobs and all of this stuff. So where are you guys sitting on that front?
Well, for a start, let's chat around the job creation, because, you know, as a South African myself, it's very, very important, you know, try and keep the money here, try and keep the jobs here and stuff. And you mentioned it earlier on, you know, why we came and set up a base around here and not just necessarily import product, because we feel strongly about job creation, about South Africans being a part of this launch. So much so that we've created in excess of 200 local jobs already, full-time jobs, and we'll continually expand on that. To your question around manufacturing in South Africa, I think it's a little bit early for us at this point in time. You know, now we've just launched, so, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be a definite consideration for us in the future.
Okay, cool. I guess, you know, down the line, you know, depending on the types of volumes that you guys, you know, could have, but sort of related to the issue of, you know, manufacture is, as Oppo South Africa, right, are you guys just dealing with the SA market, or do you guys sort of have, are you guys sort of a hub that then, you know, feeds into other maybe surrounding countries?
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, as South Africa, you know, we're surrounded by what we call the Common Customs Unions or the SADC countries. So definitely we'll be servicing those countries. But for now, our plans are obviously set up South Africa, start to penetrate this market successfully. And once we've achieved, you know, some success in this market, we'll definitely be expanding to the neighboring countries. We do have offices also set up in the likes of Nigeria and Kenya, so there are Africa presence for Oppo.
Okay. And when it comes to that presence, especially you've just said that there is at the moment that focus on South Africa and around the world, one of the ways that smartphone makers, you know, make some headway in a market is by having those relationships with carriers. The ability to offer contracts or the ability to pay, to buy phones on prepaid, whatever it is. But, you know, having that relationship with carriers that can then help to either promote the brand or at least use as a distribution channel for sales, etc. So from that point of view, how would you characterize your relationship with the local carriers?
Oh, definitely. You know, your partners are a critical factor to your success, especially when launching a brand new brand in a new market. So partners have been integral to our success. You know, we've been working very closely. We just recently, in March, we launched with MTN, and obviously are busy currently speaking to all the operators. The operators and all the retail partners have been very, very supportive of the Oppo launch. And I think it's, you know, it's always good to have something fresh in the market. And I think that's one thing that we brought along. And yes, as I said, I cannot thank you, our partners, enough for supporting us during this launch and helping us to grow in this market.
When it comes to that sales and distribution, so at the moment, is it only just MTN, and are you guys also selling through your own channels?
No, we currently available in all Vodacom and MTN branded channel stores. You'll find our product with traditional mobile retailers as well, so the likes of Game, the Fashini Group, the Pepcor Group, Ackermans and Pep, Massmart Group. You'll have Game and Macro selling our products. So we've got a very wide distribution of a smartphone in this market already.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to ask, you know, are there any plans? I think over the last couple of years, we've seen the large smartphone makers coming up with these flagship, you know, stores. I think Samsung has one or two around South Africa. So does Apple with its iStores, etc. So, you know, would you guys do something like that? Maybe one or two in the country just as a, you know, a base for people that want to see or feel that Oppo experience?
Yes, 100%. We've already have our first one that we launched at the start of this year, our first experience store available in Vodacom World. So I'll ask your listeners to get down to Vodacom World, go and check out our experience store over there. So yes, experience stores are definitely something that we'll consider in the future. But for now, we've got to make sure that we focus around our partners and making sure that, you know, we really bring the heat to this market.
And in bringing that heat, how do you feel about what or how things have happened so far? Because you did say that you launched in the middle of the pandemic, 60,000 customers or users so far. When it comes to the trajectory or whatever plans you guys have had, because I'm sure the nerds sat down and they calculated, you know, what you guys could possibly do in the country. So from that point of view, how do you feel about the market? But more importantly, what has COVID done to, I guess, buying trends in South Africa? Because we talk so much about digitalization, digital adoption, and South Africa having internet penetration of about 56%. So, you know, against all of that, one would think that you guys would be doing very well, you know. So do you feel like you've been able to reap? Yeah, maybe you can share your insights with us just around what COVID has done around the buying trends.
You know, in this industry, we have a saying, you know, COVID has brought 2025 forward, right? you mentioned it earlier on regarding the digitization for us. You know, we're finding ourselves in a different world, you know, this year versus what we had in 2019. Digital services is more important than ever, and digital products to support those services are also vital. And it's important that we understand these trends. You know, we did a lot of research before entering into this market, and yes, you know, you asked regarding the success that we've had, and it's been a phenomenal ride for us. You know, we've exceeded our targets. We've grown exponentially fast. We're growing every single day. Day by day, we're setting new sales records. And it just, again, just really shows the reception that South Africans have given us in this market. And we're really, really thankful for it. and also the partnerships that we've had with all our carrier partners and retail partners out there.
And when it comes to the future in South Africa, are there any plans? Because I know that as Oppo, you guys sort of sit in a stable that has a couple of other brands, Vivo, OnePlus, etc. Are there any cross-brand sort of collaborations that you guys do in any way?
Well, those are competitors of Oppo. Okay.
Yeah.
And we treat them as competitors.
Okay, I think, you know, that helps us, you know, quite a bit on that front. And when it comes to emerging markets, how do you, you know, how have you sort of seen Oppo? Because one of the things that we do quite a lot on this platform is look at South Africa in relation to other countries and especially emerging markets. So it's always interesting gaining, you know, insight into how South Africa does, you know, in relation to other emerging markets. So as Oppo, how have you found things, you know, things are looking very good in China and things are looking on the up in SA, but in other emerging markets, how do you see things?
So again, a very proud fact that South Africa, we're the fastest growing region for Oppo Middle East Africa. You know, that shows that definitely, you know, we've got some great, how can I say, partnership and sale potential in this market. If we look at other emerging markets, the likes of India, Oppo is a very, very big player in India. And definitely we learn a lot from those territories. But also South Africa is unique, you know, and it's important that we always look at South Africans' needs and wants and make sure that we are able to provide the right tools for those needs and wants.
I think maybe as we round up the discussion then, when it comes to the future of Oppo in South Africa and actually gaining that market share, what's the strategy in terms of getting people out of that traditional mindset where there's, I'm going to call them three manufacturers that you traditionally turn to or think about or that are, you know, top of mind when it usually comes to smartphones?
Okay, well, I can't give away my strategy in case the competitors are listening. No, but definitely for us, we know, you know, we face a big giant that we, you know, it's we're David and we're facing not just one Goliath, but three of them really. And our plans is just, you know, doing what we know and doing what we are currently doing. And that is really investing in our team, focusing on our team, because at the end of the day, you know, it's the team that makes the difference, not just just the product. So we'll continue to focus on the team, continue to expand the local team to capture opportunities and continually invest into this market as well. You know, continually create jobs. Continue to create brand awareness and brand exposure for us, and continue focusing our partnerships.
And you know, as we the other thing, you know, the other little piece I'm interested in when it comes to all of this stuff is you sort of told us how you came to when Oppo actually came to your attention. You said, I think you said 2018. Could we also get a sense for us as, you know, the geeks in the room, just, you know, how you ended up being at Oppo, maybe some career highlights?
Oh, it's something that it's a brand that I was following ever since 2018. And I was very honored to have received a call in 2020 from them. You know, there's a couple of us, actually, we had our digital marketing manager. A funny story, there's, he created Oppo fan page all the way in 2018 as well. And yes, we were very honored to have received the call from Oppo Global to say that they're on their way. So, and the rest is history, I suppose.
Well, where were you before this?
I spent the better part of a decade with Samsung Mobile. There I started my career actually as a promoter for Samsung Mobile. I left, yeah, just on my 10th year. And then I joined Hisense for a small bit. And then, yeah, last year, Oppo.
Okay, cool. As a parting shot, what phone are you using from Oppo right now?
I'm using Reno 5, 5G. Okay. Yeah. And And it's something, you know, working for many technology companies out there, I can definitely say that this is the best smartphone I've ever used. And I can tell your listeners out there, go and try this. You know, it's difficult. You know, the smartphone technology, you know, it doesn't seem to be as progressive anymore in terms of these gadgets and gadgets that we used to. Now the phones have become meaningful, and it's meaningful innovation. So to give you an idea, I no longer charge my Reno 5 overnight anymore, right? So every morning I wake up, the phone has probably got about 3% battery after the night. It puts itself on night standby mode. And then in the mornings, while I have my cup of coffee, I quickly give it a charge. The Oppo Reno 5 5G recharges from 0 to 100 in just under 40 minutes. Now, that's something that, again, when you experience it, you will see how it will change your life. 0 to 25% in 5 minutes. And that's 25% is enough to play games for about 4 hours. 5 minutes, 4 hours of playing games.
With that sales pitch, one can truly understand why Liam Fury is the go-to market man at Oppo South Africa. So that's been us for this edition. That was, you know, Liam giving us some insight into what Oppo's operations are looking like in South Africa. Also giving us some insight into what the adoption and the reception has been like in South Africa. 60,000 devices sold so far. They came in at the end of last year inside the pandemic period, but he says that they've been able to actually gain quite a bit of traction so far. Also talking about the fact that it is somewhat of a crowded market, but he believes that if they are able to invest, especially in their team, which comprises of over 200 people so far, that they will be able to make headway, sort of playing in that 3,000 to 15,000 rand range, and also giving insights into some of their learnings from China, where they've recently become the largest smartphone maker in that market, and how they're going to be using some of those learnings to come into South Africa. He is actually just giving some distinction as well to say that unlike the likes of Huawei, they, you know, have good relationships with Google and Qualcomm because they are not a network provider or, you know, network equipment manufacturer. So some of those concerns do not affect them, even though they are a Chinese brand. So that's been it. Liam, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Modiwa. I appreciate the time, and goodbye to your listeners.
This is Modiwa's Take.
Really fascinated and quite interested to see what Oppo is going to be able to do in South Africa going forward. The fact that they've been able to, you know, gain as many users as they have since coming towards the end of last year, I guess means that they've got started off on at least the right foot, right? And one can sort of make, I guess, the obvious assumption that they've sort of benefited from some of the fallout that's happened in the market because of Huawei and its inability to use Google services, because as an Android user, at least in this part of the world, having that access to Google services is still quite important to a lot of customers and consumers out there. So coming in as a manufacturer that's made as much headway as they have in China sort of helps them from that point of view. And it's also cool to see more manufacturers coming into the market. Some people may know that a couple of months ago, LG actually announced that it would be shutting down its smartphone division around the world, right? That's LG Mobile, reducing the amount of competition that there is around the world and in turn in South Africa. So on the side of Android, it's good to see that there is another manufacturer that's at least entered the South African market just as LG is about to leave, because more choice is always good. And I think the price range that they are playing around in, that 3,000 rand to sort of 15,000 rand price range, that mid to flagship tiers, you know, it's a very competitive one, and it's more than anything else how are they going to be able to take on the likes of Samsung, because that's a manufacturer that has phones at all of these various price points, whereas the likes of Apple its devices are starting at the, you know, 12,000-13,000 rand range. So it would be good to see how much traction they're able to take on from, you know, that point of view. And I think the other thing will be what's going to be their contribution in terms of helping to increase the rate of internet adoption and penetration. We've already mentioned the fact that South Africa has a 56% internet penetration. That's that's one of the largest, if not the largest, on the continent. So probably a good market for them to be, you know, entering into. And if they can, you know, take whatever traction they can in South Africa and then parlay it into servicing, you know, surrounding countries and regions, that might go well, because you have surrounding countries that do consume a lot of South African media, a lot of South African television, radio, etc. So if there is an increasing cultural impact or consumer take up of OPPO from the South African point of view, it will likely spill over to some extent in neighboring countries as well. So like I said, I'm a geek, so I'm very fascinated by this stuff, and really cool to see another competitor coming into the market. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.